What a joy, privilege, pleasure, all those good words it is to have you this morning. Thank you for coming to church. Good to see you. Thank you for all those online. Thank you for joining us. You are welcome here. I'm going to start this morning by reading from a book that, if you've been here for a while, you know I read from frequently, called The Valley of Vision, A Puritan Prayer, and this one's titled God Honored. So as I read, let's pray this together, please. Oh God, praise waiteth for thee, and to render it is my noblest exercise. This is thy due from all thy creatures. For all thy works display thy attributes and fulfill thy designs. The sea, the dry land, winter cold, summer heat, morning light, evening shade are full of thee, and thou givest me them richly to enjoy. Thou art my King of kings and Lord of lords. At thy pleasure, empires rise and fall. All thy works praise thee, and thy saints bless thee. Let me be numbered with the holy ones, resemble them in character and condition, sit with them at Jesus' feet. May my faith be always firmly rooted in thy word, my understanding divinely informed, my affections holy and heavenly, my motives simple and pure, and my heart never wrong with thee. Deliver me from the natural darkness of my own mind, from the corruptions of my heart, from the temptations to which I am exposed, from the daily snares that attend me. I am in constant danger while I am in this life. Let thy watchful eye ever be upon me for my defense. Save me from the power of my worldly and spiritual enemies and from all painful evils to which I have exposed myself. Until the day of life dawns above, let there be unrestrained fellowship with Jesus. Until fruition comes, may I enjoy the earnest of my inheritance and the first fruits of the Spirit. Until I finish my course with joy, may I pursue it with diligence, in every part display the resources of the Christian, and adorn the doctrine of thee, my God, in all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for hearing our prayer this morning as we start. Help us, Lord, in you to put everything away and to look above. May our eyes be turned upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we sincerely, with our heart, soul, and mind, seek you this morning. May you work on us and change us and grow us in you. Thank you so much for the meeting of the saints this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
together.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful.
No one like our God, dear church. Let's sing this song together, all your hearts.
Who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to
two, please.
Thank you.
Our turn. Sing it out, guys.
Has felt the nails upon his hand, tearing all the guilt of sinful men. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign.
Amen. Go. Good singing. Let's be seated.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed with you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. I didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was greater. Name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
My privilege this morning actually to introduce you to Ben King and his wife Ruth. And Ruth, wherever you are, would you come forward, please? Ben and Ruth and their three children have been attending with us for the last 6 months or so, and they have requested to become members of our church. And so recently on a Wednesday night, we did bring them into our membership. So we want to welcome them as our newest members. And I know in this day and age of COVID, I think shaking hands is illegal. But anyway, I'm going to welcome you. Lord bless you. our privilege to have you as members. We look forward to growing together. Mike's going to lead us in prayer and pray for the Kings, and then also just lead us in prayer for this morning. So, Mike.
Father, thank you so much when we grow as a church, both spiritually and physically, and just want to thank you so much for Ben and Ruth and their kids, already very much an important part of who we are and what we do. May you bless them. Father, thank you so much for their growing friendship with the saints here at this church. And Lord, may we in turn pray for them, be there for them, encourage them as they grow in their faith. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for the beautiful name, the name of Jesus, which we call upon this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a couple announcements before we pray again here. One, Vacation Bible School is coming up, and it's June 14th through 18th. First of all, pray for that ministry. If you've been coming to this church for a while, you've probably heard me share that I was saved during Vacation Bible School. So it's always a very precious time of year for me as I remember being saved during that point of my life. Pray for our VBS. It's always well attended. Last year, you know, we didn't have ours. This year we are. Praise the Lord that we can do it this year. And we're expecting a good crowd to come out. And we pray that we would make a difference. If you're interested in helping, if you have any questions, Bev Douglas wanted to make sure you knew that she is going to be available to answer those questions or to see if you can help us. She's going to be at the connection corner after the service this morning. So as soon as the service part is over before Sunday school, go and catch up with Bev, and she'd like to get your help if we can get some help. Also this morning, it's a joy and a privilege for me to tell you that we have good special visitors with us this morning. Rodney and Melanie Coe with their kids, Selah, Judah, and Roman, are with us. And this morning, Rodney specifically is going to be ministering to us. He is the director of the theater arts at Family Life Network. And Melanie works as an administrator also for the theater arts. And this morning, Rodney, in just a minute, is going to come up and he's going to sing a couple songs this morning. He's also going to share about our youth theater coming up, and he's going to share his testimony. And looking forward to that being part of our service this morning. Rodney is also a former member of Sight and Sound. Have you ever been to Sight and Sound before? Raise your hand. That's great, isn't it? He's going to sing one of his songs from Sight and Sound. But guys, thanks for being with us. Let's pray together before he comes. You are so good, Father. Thank you for our church, and we are here to worship you this morning. Humbly we do so. Humbly we ask you to please help us to turn our eyes upon you and to look up, for you are holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That hymn just nails it. If we need to think about you and your character and who you are to a T, it is your holiness. And Father, in that holiness, you still, through Jesus Christ, have offered a way to salvation for someone like me, for someone like us. We bow down before you and we thank you so much for your love to extend your salvation to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that we are not the only church meeting this morning. Many across our land, across the world, sometimes in spite of the dangers that are present, they're still meeting in faith, knowing that you will bless, knowing that you will guide, knowing that you will guard the souls. Thank you for that this morning as well. And we pray that you'll bless them. Thank you that we are a local church here and amongst the universal church all together. And we praise you, Father, in your name. Amen.
I'd rather be his. and have riches untold. I'd rather Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Yes, I'd rather I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. Yes, I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway.
Well, good morning, y'all. My name is Rodney Coe. I am the theater arts director at Family Life, Family Life Network, or Family Life Radio, which is a three-part ministry. We've got a counseling department. We've got a theater arts department, or arts department. It's not just theater. And of course, the radio as well. Give me 1 second. I'm going to set my timer so I can keep myself in check. As I share my testimony, it's easy to go deep. And I'm going to go medium deep to around 15 minutes today. So a lot of times, I oftentimes get to share my testimony. It's actually recently on a podcast for Family Life, and the full-length one will be there. Well, good morning. My name is Rodney Coe. Again, I'm the theater arts director at Family Life. Thank you, Mike and Lisa, for hosting us. And thank you, Lydia, Lincoln, and Landon as well. Our kids had a blast last night, and I'm still working off that s'more, and I may be working it off for a while because that thing was triple layered. Whew. Well, it's been almost 2 years since my amazing wife, Melanie, and our three kids, Selah, Judah, and Roman, moved from Lancaster, PA to Bath, New York to join Family Life. At the heart of the Performing Arts Department for Family Life is our youth programs. Right? We have two youth choirs. We've got a dance program called One Pulse, a yearly youth theater performance which is a full-blown extravaganza, all the stuff, the lights, the smoke, all the fun stuff. And then, of course, our youth theater workshops. Thank you guys for hosting. I believe this is your third year hosting, and it has been a pleasure working with your kids, kids from the community, and talking with our interns, who I get to talk with on a regular basis, one I work with, and a number that, you know, come over to the house on a regular basis. They love this church. They love this body. Those aren't words. They have specific memories of each place, and they've got special memories from last year here. Last year, we weren't sure we were going to be able to do it, right? And we decided to press ahead, because my thought was, you know, there were loads of restrictions. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to pull it off. And the more I thought about it, and the more I looked at the restrictions, I thought, I don't know that we can do this. But the more I thought about it, I was like, man, if there's a time, I know my own kids, if there's a time when kids need, like, an outlet, when kids need an opportunity to hear about the Lord, and with the youth theater shows, you're getting the word into you because you're dancing it and you're singing it, and you think about it afterwards. Like, this is the time. So we went ahead. And there were a number of churches that weren't able to because they were fully closed. But thank you guys. There were a number that were able to. And it was our pleasure, and it was an honor to be here, and we're excited to come back this year. So this year's program is Back to the Beginning, and if you attended last year, just know, if you're attending this year, actually, just know that time travel is definitely in your future. For those of you who don't know, every year, Family Life trains 6 interns, 2 teams of 3, who then spend the summer training kids age 8 to 15 in the theater arts in our listening audience. So this year, I believe we've got 14 theater camps. Actually, it's 13, but I'm holding out for that other one. It's coming. It'll come. Those teams split up, and then every week they come. They're training kids from age 8 to 15 in the theater arts, singing, acting, dance. And at the end of the week, they perform for friends and family. The workshops run Monday through Friday from 8 to 12:30, with a performance on Friday starting at noon. Now, I believe we've actually got a video of last year's. Actually, it might be the last couple years. So there we are. If you haven't signed up for this summer, please do so. If you've got friends in the community that love theater and don't know the Lord, please have them come sign up. Tell them it's a theater camp. Who knows? They might walk out with a little more. The testimony side of things. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I just pray you would be heard today, Father. I pray that you would go before me. Lord, I pray that your words would register with those that need to hear, Lord, that it would be an encouragement to the body, and it would be honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Sight and sound, I had the opportunity to play Jonah. And when with sight and sound, that's between there in Lancaster and Branson, that was around 1,000 performances. And that verse was something I recited every single day, multiple times. Praise God because the Lord knew exactly what I needed to hear. Isn't it funny how ministry, so often we feel like we're called to minister to others, and it's in the ministry that you're ministered to, you know? It's like, man, I got to get into the Word, so I've got something to share, never thinking about the impact that it's going to have on you. Well, growing up, I grew up in a church-going family, but it was, I guess you could say it was a facade. There was a lot at home happening that did not match what was professed. I grew up on a farm in Greenfield, Indiana, and when I was in fifth grade, I developed epilepsy. Now, I'm 8 minutes, okay. I developed epilepsy. Now, this wasn't the fall-down seizure, you know, you're shaking, all that. It was temporal lobe or pedimal epilepsy, and what that means is I just had periods of time where I just blanked out, wasn't there, and the time right before the seizure and then right after the seizure, I had no memory of. Well, as you might guess, this can affect a person's grades. So after the third test, I was able to get diagnosed. They put me on meds, which just sort of kept everything, you know, mellow yellow, and the seizures became shorter. But because of all of this, I needed to start doing special ed in school. And I was in a small school district, so we only had so many kids that were in the special ed program, and they had just got money for a bus to pick up some of the special needs kids, and they needed certain numbers to be able to get those kids, to get that bus. And so I helped. So I got picked up every morning on the short bus and drove to school on the short bus, and which, just so you know, in junior high does not help your social status, in case you were wondering. Woo! Now, at home, my dad was an elder in our church, but he was fighting his own demons, and how those oftentimes reared up and showed was physical beatings for my brothers, myself, and verbal for my mom. You know, there's one thing, discipline. And then there's a line, you know, like that moment when the line gets crossed, and the line was just sort of gone in our house. So growing up in that, I'll just say that my confidence level was pretty low. But I got into high school. My special ed class was right across from the theater class, or the English teacher. His name was Mr. Rhodes. Incredible man. And I'm walking back from the restroom, and I'm walking by his place, his room there, and he's doing this dramatic interpretation of Epaminondas, this book, this character. I don't know if anybody here knows that book, but he was doing a dramatic interp of it, and I was riveted. Like, I heard him from the hallway, and so I had to stop, and I don't know how to describe it other than I was sucked into that room. I sat on the floor behind everybody else's desk because he'd built a little stage in the corner of his room, and I just was mesmerized. And then I had a seizure. And when I came out of it, all of these upperclassmen are walking past me. And I'm like, oh boy, this is miserable. So I quickly snuck out, and he stopped me. Mr. Rhodes stopped me and said, "What are you doing, son?" And I said, "I'm sorry. I just heard it. I found it interesting, and then I didn't want to explain what happened. So what did I do? I went back to the to my special ed class, grabbed my books, and went to my next class. And unbeknownst to me, he went and he talked to our to my special ed teacher and asked what my story was, and she said, "He's a quick kid, but you know, his grades are dismal at best, and he's epileptic." And he said, "Do you think he'd like to audition?" And she said, "I have no idea." So he asked me, and I did, and he gave me a role. He's crazy. He was a crazy man, really. He was crazy, right? But what I didn't know, and what he didn't know, but he knew, was that when I was on stage, when I was rehearsing, and when I was performing, I was completely and totally seizure-free. just like some stutterers, when they're singing, a different part of the brain is activated, right? And so things change. So all of a sudden, I found myself. But I found myself getting to be different people. So, which was great, because I didn't like me. I didn't know who I was in the Lord. What I heard of him was at church, but what I saw at home was counter to what I was hearing. So it was sort of a mess there. While I was in high school, I had a very good friend who, our age ranges here, who I was really close to, a really good friend, and he told me one day that he was going to take his own life, and I didn't believe him. And he did make that decision. But he told me, when he told me, I thought he was just, you know, being a kid, being goofy, right? And then he did it, and it changed me, and I was broke. It was at that point in high school I started drinking. Anything to sort of numb the pain. My dad had loads of alcohol hidden, and I knew exactly where it was, just as every kid knows where every parent hides anything, right? Yeah, you remember your youth, probably. So I was a mess. I didn't know the Lord, and I didn't know me. Mr. Rhodes contacted some colleges, because I grew quickly in theater and performance, and I started taking voice, even took some dance. None of it took. I tried. So I make a good Baptist. What can I say? I can't dance, y'all. It's just not in me. But he called some colleges, and our final show was Music Man. They came, they saw the show, and I got 3 college offers, 2 of which were full ride. I was like, wow. One of the schools, though, had a special ed program for people with learning disabilities. There was a study they were doing where they were making people crawl because they realized if people crawled the right way, it would literally reprogram the brain. So you had to crawl a certain amount of time each day. But then they also paid for all my school, all my housing, everything, plus my food, like all of it. And I was like, I'll crawl. So I went, and I crawled. And I thought, when I first started crawling, I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever, right? But I couldn't do it. I literally fell over because my body couldn't, I mean, thus dance. Same thing happens when I dance, ironically still to this day. So I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. But then I started crawling, and at the end of that year, epilepsy lifted, and it was gone. Friends of mine who were in the same program, dyslexics, boom, gone within a year to a year and a half. It was an incredible program. Tonic neck reflex syndrome. If there's anybody out here who knows somebody who's struggling with something like that, tonic neck reflex syndrome. And that's what that crawling was about. So I go to college. I'm in college. The epilepsy's now lifted, right? suddenly, my grades, I'd been in special ed classes all this time, and my grades just went, chew, because I'd learned all these new ways to sort of work around my disabilities. And my grades were now like, I was acing everything. Yes. So I transferred to a bigger school, small fish, bigger pond, and I just needed something to conquer, right? And so I grew in that department as well. At that school, there was 3 of my buddies. Well, it was the 3 of us. We would say 3 amigos. It was more like the 3 Stooges. But one of those guys, before he went home for a 3-day weekend, said goodbye to us in a very odd way. And we're like, you're being very strange. Like, you read a book, and he had some hot chocolate and Oreos, and he was like, I love you guys. And we're like, love you too. And just like in high school, the same thing happened. I didn't see it. It rocked me to my core. And at this point, I didn't have to hide my drinking. So I started drinking a lot. And I started trying other things as well. And I can only say I was completely and totally lost. I graduated. Shh. Leave me alone. So I graduated, moved to New York. I'm in New York. Run into a guy who I had directed in a show, and he invited me to a Bible study. I go to the Bible study. I end up giving my life to the Lord because I had seen this transition in him. He had been somebody who was walking in a completely different lifestyle. It was my first professional directing gig, and during that time, he started walking in this lifestyle. And I was like, whatever, dude, just leave me alone. And so he started making these choices. But when I saw him, he came to me, and he said, I just realized that just because I might struggle with something, that doesn't mean it's my identity. Who he says I am is who I am. And so I continued to watch him, and that's ultimately the reason I gave my life to the Lord. Because the change I saw in him from who he was before to who he was then, who knows that a testimony speaks louder than any sermon? You know what I mean? A life lived and a life changed can change lives, right? All glory to him. So I give my life to the Lord. A month later, though, I'm walking home. Now, mind you, I'm just deeply convicted, right? The Holy Spirit is all over me. I've given my life to the Lord. Now I'm just deeply conflicted because I'm still drinking. I'm still doing all the things I did before. Now I just feel incredibly guilty. So I'm coming home from this concert. I dropped a girl off because, she was in the Upper Heights, dropped her off, was coming home, didn't want to drink in front of her, so I stopped off at a bar, got 3 gin and tonics, slammed them, got comfortably numb, was coming home. It was 2 a.m. I'm coming home. And I got mugged. 3 guys, one of whom had one of those kids' t-ball bats, like the little metal ones, cracked me in the back of the head, dropped me, boot stomped me, and took my money, took my wallet, and left me for dead. They had to rebuild my jaw. A lot of my teeth aren't mine. And there was significant brain damage. And praise God, though, in the midst of that, I had given my life to the Lord a month prior. Because now I was stuck in what I can only describe where I was at that point as a sort of reluctant dating relationship. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we're in this, but I don't really know if I can trust you. And I found out I could. Totally. There were so many moments when I was destitute. I didn't go home. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't want to give up the dream. But it was 6 weeks before I could communicate a full sentence without stopping. It was 3 weeks before I could communicate. It was 6 months before I could complete a sentence without stopping in the middle. My sequencing was all off. Praise God for all of that special education, right? Because now I'm using that stuff again to try and get my life back. I went from working Broadway houses to now filling popcorn buckets in a movie theater because that was literally all I could do. So I'd been humbled. Now another thing that helped me in coming to the Lord, when Desert Storm hit, my dad had a come to Jesus moment. And he radically, radically changed. And it was incredible. It changed my life forever. This man that I was afraid of became my best friend. I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than I don't know how the Lord does that, but I'm sure glad he did. It was so good. So I had to rebuild a life. I didn't think I would ever act again. Didn't think there was ever going to be a possibility of that. And honestly, I thought my getting mugged was the Lord's judgment on me because of the life that I was living, the drinking, the drugs, the carousing, like all the foolishness that I had just stepped out of and was still like, but didn't want to let go of because it was my soul cocaine, you know? It was the thing that kept me comfortably numb. But he's so good. He's so good. He revealed to me 5 years later, there was migraines every single day for 5 years. I had victim services covered my physical therapy, my occupational therapy, and my plastic surgery on my face because they did a good number. They had to rework my jaw, the teeth. Like, it was bad. It was bad, bad. But I'm in this place. I would have these migraines, and I would throw up because they were cluster migraines. You know, like, they would come, and they would hit, and they'd back off, and they'd just keep coming until you just finally So I'm in front of the toilet. I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. What's the point of all this? I don't want to live like this anymore, and I can't do it. And in that moment, he allowed me to have a vision. And he let me see the mugging, the entire thing. I heard the bat drop twice, and I wasn't sure why I heard it twice. Because when the migraines would hit, there was PTSD, right? And so you hear the same thing again and again and again and again, right? And it was always in the same sequence, and it didn't make sense. So I have this vision, and I sort of lift out of myself, I guess, like a crane shot in a film. So I'm watching the whole thing happen. And then this person, this image of light, this thing of light appears in the middle and touches each of them. The one guy who cracked me with a bat had picked it up again and was about to finish me off, and that's when he got touched. And they dropped and they ran. They found one of the guys. He got 3 years aggravated assault. It was his second aggravated. He served a year and a half because he got therapy. People ask, are you angry with them? And once I got clean, once I got sober, I realized I can't be angry with them. Because there, but by the grace of God, that could have been me. That guy didn't grow up thinking he was going to do those things. You know what I mean? Like, drugs have a way of messing with your head. Alcohol, like all those choices. So I see this entire thing, this person thing, picks me up, takes me, sets me at my apartment, touches my face and says, this will make you stronger, and is then gone. And that was the moment I realized. That was the moment that it dawned on me that it wasn't his judgment. It was his protection. I could have been killed. My view of him had been so skewed for so long, and it was no longer a reluctant dating relationship. I had already trusted him, but I was still a little hesitant. Now I was all in. Ironically, at that moment of that vision, there's not been another migraine since. That's the Lord. That's the only explanation. He's so good. I've had the opportunity to see it. He allowed me to rebuild a life. I never thought I would act again, but I knew if I did, it was going to be for him. So I got a job at a theater in Tennessee after I met my wife in Minnesota. 3 years at a passion play called The Miracle. Got to play a number of characters. And then from there, Sight and Sound. And I was just excited to walk in the building at Sight and Sound. My goodness. And my second year there, they cast me as Jonah. And I don't know how that happened. But it just kept happening for 9 years until the Lord called us to family life, which I have to say, it is an honor and a pleasure to work with the people I get to work with, to work with believers that are hungry for the Lord and are gifted. Is incredible. But man, when those gifts are turned over to him, there's no limit. This song that I'm about to sing is called Something Greater. It's from Moses. Now, in Moses, I was Aaron. In Jonah, I was Jonah. In Jesus, most recently, I was Nicodemus. I think that's it. Yeah, like there. Oh, and then Noah, I was Melech. But this is Moses' song. And now that you've heard my testimony, I think you'll understand why I gravitate to this one the most. He's so good. He's so worthy of our praise. I don't know where everybody's at, but if you've not surrendered your life to him, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's a promise. His promises are true, guaranteed. I can't believe what I have done. Finally made my stand. My day has come. No going back. I've made my choice. Now I must find my way and find my voice.
heart for all these years. While my people suffered grief and tears, I must shed this life, though I am shamed. I must let the spark become a flame. I feel this fire. It's a yearning in my heart, a burning desire to make a brand new start. I'm feeling something there, something strong, something yet to be. Something greater. See my gray skies turn blue as I turn the page and start anew. I must hold on to this and make it last. I must find my future, lose my past. I feel this fire. It's a yearning to be free, a burning desire to find my destiny. I'm feeling something there, something strong, something yet to be. Man, I was, and who am I now? To new life, God, show me how. I feel this fire, a yearning in my heart, a burning desire.
Thank you all for your time. God bless you. Pray you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. What a wonderful testimony of God's grace. And if I would be able to sing like that, I'd quit preaching for sure. Since I can't sing like that, you're going to have to put up with my preaching, but not today. We just enjoy so much hearing of God's grace and tying that in with our study from Genesis for the last year or so. We certainly see God's grace in those Old Testament patriarchs. As we pointed out, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all had their weaknesses. They all responded in sinful ways. But God in his grace just continued to love them, continued to work with them, continued to grow them into a faith and a trust in him. And we praise the Lord for his grace. You know, sometimes we refer to the Old Testament as the age of the law, and now we're in the age of grace. I don't like that terminology. That leaves the impression that there was no grace in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of grace. The New Testament is full of grace. Today, God is full of grace. And we see that in Rodney's testimony this morning. We see that throughout Scripture, beginning in Genesis and right through the book of Revelation. And God will bestow his grace upon you as well. He gives grace to the humble. And as we humble ourselves before him, he will, in grace, meet us where we are and grow us in our faith and in our love for him. And I encourage you to humble yourself before him this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this hour together and for Rodney's testimony, for the way you have worked in his heart and in his life, the way you've brought him to yourself and as you have grown him. And Father, we recognize as we study your word and even in our own lives how you have met us where we are. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You bestowed your grace upon us. You sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. You sent your Son to die in our place for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And Father, if there's any here this morning that are not sure of their own relationship with you, they're not sure of their own eternal destiny, I pray that you would bring them to a point of seeking out answers to their questions. And Father, may we be here for those who are seeking. And I pray that we'd be able to take them to your word and show them how that they might know that they have eternal life. So Father, just we'd ask for you to work in each one of our hearts today. Help us not to be lifted up with pride, for you resist the proud. You give that grace to the humble. Thank you for that wonderful promise. I pray, Father, that we would continue to meditate upon your goodness, upon your love, upon your amazing grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.